Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who opens our ears and our mouths, dear fellow redeemed. The text for our meditation and application to our daily walk of faith is taken from the Gospel of Mark. We read from chapter 7, verses 31 through 37. Jesus left the region of Tyre again and went through Sidon to the Sea of Galilee, within the region of the Decapolis. They brought a man to him who was deaf and had a speech impediment. They pleaded with Jesus to place his hand on him. Jesus took him aside in private, away from the crowd. He put his fingers into the man's ears. Then he spit and touched the man's tongue. After he looked up to heaven, he sighed and said, "Ephphatha," which means, "Be open." Immediately, the man's ears were opened, his tongue was set free, and he began to speak plainly. Jesus gave the people strict orders to tell no one, but the more he did so, the more they kept proclaiming it. They were amazed beyond measure and said, "He has done everything well. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak." These are the words of our Lord. Let us pray. Let the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. Put yourself in the shoes of the man in our text for this morning. I want you to imagine what it would be like to be him. Being unable to hear, pretty much being unable to speak at all, and then imagine that you are living in the time in which he lived. You're not living today here in the modern 2024. You are living in the first century. You don't have all the assistance, the technological and medical advances we have today. Think of how difficult his situation would be. Think of how frightening his situation would be. Thankfully, it appears that this man also had people who cared for him in the best possible way, because our text says that they brought a man to him, to Jesus, who was deaf and had a speech impediment. They pleaded with Jesus to place his hand on him. So whoever the they was in this crowd of people, they did the right thing. There was no doctor who could help this man, but they knew Jesus could. Again, put yourself in the shoes of this man, and now think of what happens then after this crowd, this group of people, brings Jesus to you. Jesus now takes you aside in private, away from the crowd, and begins to perform what we might call the most blessed sign language ever. Our text says, he put his fingers into the man's ears, he spit and then touched the man's tongue, and then he looked up to heaven and sighed and said, "Ephphatha," which means, "Be open." Again, imagine being that man. Think of how grateful and how overwhelmed you'd be after Jesus says the words, "Ephphatha," and the text says, immediately the man's ears were opened. His tongue was set free. He began to speak plainly. Imagine just how much was actually opened up for this man once Jesus healed him. Once his ears were opened and his tongue was loosed. His entire life was now opened up because of Jesus. And the crowd that was gathered there that day responds to this miracle appropriately. They were amazed beyond measure, and they said, "He has done everything well. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak." As you put yourself in this man's shoes and imagine being him, now can we relate to this man in our text? Maybe you don't share the same physical disabilities that this man had, but we can all relate to this man in a spiritual sense. We too were in desperate need of Jesus to come to us and speak that word, "Ephphatha, be open." Jesus had to open our ears by opening our hearts to believe the word of God. When we heard and believed that word of God, life, real life, eternal life, was opened to you and me. And our scripture reading from James reminds us that word that Jesus has given us has been planted in you. It is able to save your souls. That is a pure gift of Jesus Christ. It is an astounding miracle that Jesus performed on us by opening up our hearts to hear and believe his word. It's not a miracle that we often think about as being so astounding and so incredible, but it truly is. By nature, we are spiritually deaf. If we're just left to our own powers without Jesus' help, our ears and our hearts can do nothing but reject and refuse to hear and believe God's word. We needed Jesus to reach out with compassion to us. We needed him to perform a miracle for us. No, he didn't physically touch our ears like he did for this man, but he did certainly speak "Ephatha," be open, with his very own words. The Bible tells us, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. How did you come to know and believe who Jesus was? It was by the word of God. Jesus used that word to miraculously bring faith into your heart. That word, that very word of God, had the power to open our spiritually deaf ears, to resurrect our spiritually dead hearts, to believe this good news. That this Jesus, this amazing miracle worker, is more than that. He is the Son of God, our Savior, who lived, who died, and rose again, to give us full and complete forgiveness and eternal life in the mansions of heaven with him. But what about our mouths? We talk about Jesus opening our ears, opening our hearts by faith. What about our mouths? Have they been opened by Jesus as well? Can we relate to the man in our text, where our text says, his tongue was set free. He began to speak plainly after Jesus touched it. Well, we read something in the very next verse of our text that might confuse us. But it made you go, what is going on here when we read our text for today? Verse 36, after Jesus frees this man's tongue and he speaks plainly, Jesus says this. He gave the people strict orders to tell no one. But the more he did so, the more they kept proclaiming it. Why on earth would Jesus command the people not to tell others about this miracle that he performed? There are some people who read this verse and actually say, well, maybe Jesus was using reverse psychology here. Don't tell anybody, when really he means, please do tell everybody, and they obviously did. I don't believe that's the case here. Jesus does not work in deception, and we know some of the reasons why he told people not to spread the news of this miracle. At that time, the Jewish people of Jesus' day had a very false perception about the coming Messiah. They believed that he would be a political and military Messiah who would come to establish an earthly kingdom, and he would reign from a throne in Jerusalem, much like his ancestor, King David, in the Old Testament. Now you might recall that our text says this miracle that Jesus performed was not performed in Jerusalem. It was actually performed in the region of the Decapolis. That was a region that was predominantly Gentiles, non-Jews. So Jesus wanted to make sure that the people of this predominantly Gentile region did not think that he'd come to organize some sort of political rebellion or insurrection. He didn't want them spreading the news of this miracle, which would have been proof that he was the Messiah, the Christ, if that was the prevailing thought about who the Messiah was. If the prevailing thought was the Messiah equals earthly king, super King David, essentially, Jesus does not want that news about him to spread at this time. Jesus had come as the Messiah, yes, for certain, but it meant that he'd come to lay down his life for the sins of the world. And by his resurrection, he would open the kingdom of heaven. Ephatha. The kingdom of heaven is open. Well, this command, of course, to not tell anyone, the strict order not to tell anyone about this miracle, no longer applies. It certainly does not apply to you and to me. After Jesus died and rose again to show the world what it truly means that he is the Messiah, he then told people to spread the word freely. In fact, in the Gospel of Mark, in the very end of the Gospel of Mark, you see Jesus giving the complete opposite of the command that he gives in this section of our text. He gives this great commission. He says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. That command, of course, is also for you and for me. So why is it then that we often live like Jesus has given us strict orders to tell no one, like he told the people in our text? We need to remember that Jesus has not only opened our ears through the miracle of the Word of God, he's also opened our mouths, and he set free our tongues to praise him. And to spread that good news about the miracles he has done for us and for all people, especially the miracle of salvation that he came to win for us and all people by his death on that cross of Calvary. Remember what those people did after they witnessed this miracle. Even after Jesus gave them strict orders to tell no one. Our text says, but the more he did so, the more they kept proclaiming it. May that be said of you and me. The more we hear, the more we receive the miracles of Jesus in our lives, the more we keep on proclaiming it, praising him and proclaiming his word. Yes, while we're gathered here safely in his house, but also as we go about our lives among other people throughout our week. And so we join and conclude our sermon with a prayer, asking Jesus to do that in us. We pray. Dear Jesus, you are the one who has spoken Ephatha, be opened to our ears and our hearts, and you have miraculously brought us to saving faith in you. We pray that you would also continue to speak Ephatha, be opened to our lips and our tongues, that we may praise you and proclaim the good news of your salvation to all people, so that they too may know that you, dear Savior, have opened the gates of heaven. Forgive us for the times we've kept silent when we should have spoken your word, and give us more opportunities to do so. Give us the words, your words, to speak when those opportunities arise. In your saving name we pray. Amen. Please rise. And that peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.